Well, some people say, well, there's no hell, there's no heaven. When you die, you're just gone. God's word says that's not true. You'll be alive somewhere in a resurrected body, either with the Lord or separated from God for all eternity by choice. And it's a simple choice. I believe in the security of the believer, and I fully believe in the insecurity of the non-believer. If that non-believer says, I don't want Jesus, then there is no security for you. You don't know what's coming, except it's condemnation.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. As our study of John continues in chapter 5, verse 26, we learn that God is the source and giver of all life. Here's Pastor Bob.
So verse 26 of chapter 5 sounds like this: For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Interesting. He's called the Son of God and he's called the Son of Man. Which one is he? The answer is yes, both. He's the Son of God. His title is also the Son of Man. Here's how we receive life from Jesus Christ, our Savior. Here's how we receive it. And the Lord God hath declared his Son would have life in him, and the power of authority over us all as well. The power of judgment and authority over us all. Because God is one what with three who's? One God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God gives Jesus the authority because he is God. He's given him that authority, that his Son would have life in himself, and he would have the life, the power and the authority to give that life, that eternal life, to anyone he will. And what did he say? Come to me and I will give you eternal life. The Father has also given Jesus Christ the power and the authority of all judgment. When you sit at the great white throne, you'll be sitting in the presence of God. Yes, God the Son, Jesus Christ himself. He's given Jesus Christ the power. Why? Because he is not just the Son of God, he is the Son of Man. Jesus is called the Son of God. Why? Because he is fully God. He is God Almighty. He was, he is, he always will be. So he's called the Son of God. He is also called the Son of Man. Why? Because he became flesh willingly. Miraculous birth. He became flesh and he lived here as a human being. Fully God, yet fully man. So he's also called the Son of Man. But he went to that cross and he died for all sin, all sin. He was the substitute for all men and women throughout all time. Jesus took the place of me and you on the cross and all people, Adam and Eve, etc., and so forth. So what do you have to do to be saved? Nothing. Jesus did it all. You just have to humble yourself and say, I accept. Thank you. Save me. He has every right to come back and judge because he did it for us. And if you don't receive that, then you're going to stand before him because he's the only one with the right and the authority to judge you. I can't. Nobody else can. We try, but we can't. Only Jesus Christ himself, all judgment, because he did it in obedience to his Father. Verse 28 says, marvel not at this. I think he's saying that because they're looking at him like he's crazy. He's just telling them that he's God and he's got the authority to judge everyone, including them. He's talking to the hypocrites. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which All that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Who's his? The Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They'll hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Even sounds bad. Jesus says to his listeners, now they're not only the hypocrites there, but he's speaking to the hypocrites. All of us are included, but he's speaking directly to the hypocrites. You should not be surprised or amazed at the things I'm saying. They're probably looking at him like, you're calling yourself God. This is freaky, man. You're weird. This is blasphemy. And their eyes are bugging out. And he goes, don't be so amazed that people are actually passed from death to life immediately, that I have that authority. Don't be so amazed. There's coming in time when those who have died and been buried, basically, will hear my voice and they shall be raised. That means not just believers in Jesus Christ are going to be raised from the dead, but who else? All that have rejected Jesus Christ. True? The dead are going to be raised from those graves. Some to everlasting life, some to condemnation, but everybody lives eternally. Do you know the Bible says that we are eternal beings? God created man in his image with a soul. That soul is eternal. It can never die, but it can be sent to outer darkness by choice, rejecting God, or it can be to be with the Father for all eternity, right? You got a choice to make. Don't play with it so much down here. You know, make your choice from your heart and stick to that, because there's coming a time when the dead that have been buried, they will hear my voice, they'll be raised, some to everlasting life, some to condemnation. Non-believers will be given resurrected bodies, think about it, but not glorified bodies. Wow. They're going to be raised up to what? To have their choice granted. I want to be away from Jesus, I don't want anything to do with him. Well, then go into everlasting darkness. That was your choice. But you'll have a resurrected body, but not a glorified body. We will have resurrected bodies and glorified bodies like Jesus Christ. Bodies that were used for sin and rejected the forgiveness that Jesus offers will suffer the consequences of that sin for eternity. It's a choice they make. And that's what Jesus just said. Everyone will be called up. Well, some people will say, well, there's no hell, there's no heaven. When you die, you're just gone. God's word says that's not true. You'll never be gone. You'll be alive somewhere. Verse 30. People misunderstand this, and so you have to use your rules of hermeneutics to make sure you're grasping the language. Listen to this one. I can of my own self do nothing. Really? I thought he was God. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. It's right. It's true. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He. So he gives us a clue here. Very misunderstood scriptures, verses 30 through 32. Jesus is not saying he doesn't have the power or authority to do things. I and the Father are one. He is in complete unity with the Father. He is so closely united with God that he cannot act any other way but in God's will. Get it? That's what he's saying to you. I can of my own self do nothing. I'll read it to you again. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. All he's saying is he and the Father are one. He's going to do what the Father's will is because he is the Son. That's how closely they're related. Jesus had the power to do all things. But he could not and he would not do anything that was not the will of his Father in heaven, right? If his Father in heaven's will was that he go to the cross and be crucified, Jesus would surrender and say, done, here I go. But if that wasn't his Father's will, he would have never done it. Get it? That's what he's trying to communicate here, and I think that's what he says pretty clearly. That statement alone sets the Lord Jesus Christ apart from every other individual that has ever lived, doesn't it? Because I can do something against God's will. I'm fully capable. How about you? Even now, as a true believer, he could say, don't say that. You're going to make somebody mad. And you say it anyway, because you're mad too. Yet the Lord Jesus, one with the Father, said, whatever I say, you hear the Father say. Whatever I do, you see the Father do. I do the will of my Father, of the one who sent me. And then he points out something that every one of the Jewish people understand. We should too, because we've been studying our Old Testament as well. Christian, read the whole Bible. Don't leave out the parts that you think aren't for you. Everything in it is for you. He says, if I alone bear witness of myself, that witness is not true. It can't be considered true. Why? He is not saying that I'm lying or that it would lie. He's simply reminding all of us, those people and you and me, a single witness was never enough in a court of law. That's how God's word set it up in Israel. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. If Jesus said, if I just come along saying all these things with no one else witnessing, you shouldn't accept it because the law says two or three, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sins. At the mouth of two witnesses or the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness isn't true. There has to be two witnesses or more. There is another that bears witness of me, he says, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Some suggest that here Jesus is referring to John the Baptist. Some suggest that he might be referring to the Holy Spirit. But I think, and you'll see later on why I think it, you'll see it coming up soon. I think Jesus is actually talking about his Father in heaven. I believe he's talking about the witness of God Almighty. Why would I say that? In Matthew chapter 3, you can mark this down, Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. Jesus went to be baptized, remember? And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Lo, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and remaining on him, lighting on him and staying there. And lo, a voice from heaven. Whose voice? God, listen. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus says, my Father's witness is true. And you can't just have one in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Well, the Holy Spirit and the Father are going to show witnesses all over the place when he's doing miracles and things, right? So you've got all the witnesses you want. But he's making sure everybody knows we're following the word of God. God wrote it. We're doing it God's way. If I just witness by myself and there's no other witness, don't listen to me. You sent unto John, and he bare witness to the truth. Verse 34. But I received not testimony from men, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was saying this. John came to prepare the way for Messiah. But I've already got the witness of the Father and the Son and the witness of the Holy Spirit coming up. You know, the miracles and all. He says, I don't need the testimony from man. He was a burning, John was, a burning and a shining light. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So listen, Jesus talks about John the Baptist. John's testimony. John was a good witness for the Lord. And John tells the truth. But Jesus reminds us he does not need human testimony. It's all right. He will allow us to give our testimony of what he's done. But he doesn't need that to prove that he is Jesus Christ, God Almighty. But every one of us has a testimony. John's testimony was this. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths. He's coming soon. Messiah is coming. Repent. Everybody turn back to God. Turn now. That was his testimony for Jesus Christ. And Jesus came. So John's testimony is a good testimony, but Jesus reminds us that he doesn't need human testimony. But he said these things that you might be saved, meaning what? That you'd be looking for me, that you'd be looking for Messiah so that you could be saved. John's light, he says it was a good light, but everybody, it was just a little light, that little lamp that John the Baptist shone for Jesus Christ. So that's what he's telling these people. And I want you to know, they're understanding some of it, and they'll be really mad when he leaves. Really, they're mad now, and they'll be even more angry. But I have a greater witness than that of John the Baptist he's talking about. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. There's his witness, again, that the Father has sent him. He's going to raise people from the dead. We just saw him in the last chapter. We saw him give a man the ability to walk who hadn't walked in 38 years. We saw it. People saw it. And that's what got him in trouble. It was the Sabbath. Remember, that's what brought on this whole discourse. So he says, I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father had given to me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You have not his words abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you did not believe or believe in. So you don't have God's word in you if you don't believe in Jesus. They had never heard the voice of the Father because they do not have God's word abiding in them. They are ignorant of God's word, which I believe many are today. We've got the Bible, and it's written in a language that we all read, and you can get all kinds of, you know, you got the King James, the New King James, you can get languages you can read, but still don't know the Bible. Why is that? The Bible's not being taught. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Why? Because the time is coming when the people will not endure sound doctrine. Look up the word doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. People don't want to be taught the Bible anymore. They want to be told cool things like the distance from Oklahoma City to the moon in centimeters. So look what he says in verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify me. You're going to find me in the scriptures. If you can't find Jesus in the scriptures, you haven't looked in the scriptures, because you can't miss him. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I'll read it again. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. The Jewish leaders, they were Bible studiers. They were Bible scholars. They just didn't know the Bible. What do they know of God? Nothing. They don't have God's word in their heart. They don't have Messiah in their heart. They don't belong to the Lord. They searched the scriptures. They were looking into the word of God. They were studying the word of God. They were the Bible scholars of their day, Bible grads, Bible college grads, studying the word, thinking that they could find eternal life in there. And Jesus says, the scriptures are all about me. They point to me, and you are missing it. You're not listening to it. You refuse to come to me. You refuse to trust in me. The promised Son of God and the great high priest, you don't want him. Yet you're reading these things, and you're skimming over it or something. You're not getting it. The promised Son of God and the great high priest, you don't want him. Yet you're reading these things, and you're skimming over it or something. You're not getting it. In spite of the simplicity of the revelation of Messiah throughout the Old Testament, those people didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't recognize him on the cross. They didn't pay attention and run back to Exodus chapter 12 and see the first Passover and see the amazing things that are identical. They knew the first Passover. They knew it was Exodus 12, but they didn't put two and two together because they weren't interested in math and they didn't want it to be Jesus anyway. Then he says, you don't believe What he's saying is, I know your hearts. You do not have the love of God in your hearts. Literally, the love of God in your hearts. You don't have it. You don't have that. I am not here so you'll be impressed with me or think I'm some cool guy and follow me just because I'm totally cool. He said, that's not what I'm here to do. They don't have the love of God in their hearts. He's God. He judges their hearts. He knows their hearts. Why would he say something like that? Why is that important? They are the spiritual leaders. Let me read it to you. Look at what he says to them. I come in my Father's name and you won't receive me. Let me say that another way. I am the representative of the Father, the ambassador. I'm the representative of him. And you reject and won't listen to me. To reject the representative is to reject the one that sent him. Isn't that true? Like if we send our ambassador over to Russia and they kick him out, they have kicked out America. True? And we see it little games with all these foreign countries kicking out somebody's ambassador, letting them back in when we're happy, right? Silly stuff. But that's what Jesus is saying. I come in my Father's name and you won't receive me. Then Jesus says, but one is coming in his own name. The one that comes in his own name, you will receive him. The language is like this. You will receive him with arms wide open, open arms. You'll just receive him. What's he talking about, everybody? As you listen to him, he's referring to false prophets, but specifically, and you'll see later on that the Olivet Discourse, when he talks about the last days, he's not just talking about all the false prophets alone. He's also talking about the man of sin called the Antichrist. He's going to come in his very own name and the world will receive him as Messiah. Jesus came in the name of the Father and the world rejected him as Messiah. You don't receive me and I come in my Father's name, but you'll receive the one that comes in his own name. The world is ready for the Antichrist right now. Looking for somebody to make everything okay again. And they're going to be shocked. Well, verse 44, how can you believe which receive honor of one another? Maybe we should underline that in our Bibles. How can you believe which receive honor of one another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? He's saying, the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. He's saying that if you won't believe the Bible, you're not going to believe anything I say. If you don't receive the testimony of the Word of God, you're not going to believe my testimony, is what he's telling you. How can you believe when basically all you want to do is receive honor of one another? Listen, let me say it this way. They wore those clothes. They wore clothes to make sure you know they were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, the lawyers, the doctors of the law. They wore special holy robes. And when they walked down the street, people would bow. People would before them and kiss their ring and genuflect and people would just honor them. You know, he's a holy man. Let him sit right there. Right? What did Jesus just say? You are looking for the approval of people. Jesus says, I'm here to save. What are we after? More money? More people thinking that we're really something? What are we after? It's a hard question to answer. And he says, I don't have to accuse you guys, because the Word of God does. You read the Word, you're going to be convicted. Each time you and me open this up, we find more things that we're weak at. Maybe we knew it, maybe we didn't, but it always comes out, doesn't it? You know, it used to be in the commercial, the closer he gets, the better you look. Remember? But now, the closer we get to God, the worse we look, because we're getting closer into the light. We go, I'm a mess from head to toe. And then you think, oh, thank you, God, you took care of that. And you get a little closer, you go, oh, look at this. It just gets worse. It does, doesn't it? Because he's working on us. He's changing our hearts.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.